Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. A marriage made in heaven. Week after week, we come to church. And every week, we come to church and we have this mindset about church. And if we're not careful about our mindset in church, when we come to church, church would become common to us. Just a thing we do. Just a place we go. Just where we meet people, see people, talk to people. And if church ever becomes common to us, we don't expect a lot when we get here. Because we are in the presence of the Lord, yet we don't expect anything, our lack of expectation will cause us to miss out on the moment. In other words, we are in the presence of God, but we don't see God for who God is because we're so common with church. We just see one another and we carry on business as usual. We got to begin to see God through the eyes, through the death, through the very resurrection of Jesus Christ. For indeed, the Bible declares that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When you join the church, you marry the church. The church is you. You then become in a relationship, a covenant agreement with Jesus.
All right.
The Bible declares that Jesus is going to come back for a church without spots or wrinkles. Now, that doesn't mean that He's coming back for a perfect church, because perfection in the sense of being sinless, we can't obtain that in this body. It's not that perfection that He's after, or should I say sinless. What He's coming back for is the right heart. In any relationship, when you're in that relationship, things don't always go your way. But if you hang in there, at the end, you'll always win, because the Bible declares that two are stronger than one. Now, the prophet Isaiah writes in chapter number 1 through 5 about how the church, God's people, drifted away from God. And that's where we are tonight as a society. We've drifted away from God. And so God comes to this prophet, and God begins to tell him chapter 1 through 5, how the world has drifted away. Then God called him to preach. God called him to preach and then turn around and say, but don't expect much. You want me to preach, but you don't want me to expect people to change. And God is saying, yeah, that's what I want you to do. You wonder why people don't hear, receive what you're saying. I know this is hard to receive, but there are some people that are determined to go to hell. They are determined to go to hell because it makes no difference what you say, how many scriptures you show them. They just like what they are doing. And so as a result of them liking what they are doing, God allows us to choose things. And God says you can choose to go to hell or you can choose to go to heaven. It's your choice. So the prophet Isaiah picks up, and I want to go really slow tonight because I want us to get this tonight. In chapter number 6, he began to talk about a vision that he has. The prophet Isaiah talks about a vision that he has. Would somebody read verse number 1, please?
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple.
And so what he's saying is that in the year of the Lord, he says, this man was a prophet or a king, he says, God showed me a vision. And the vision that God showed him was, he says, I saw the Lord.
Oh, wow.
Now, don't twist manifested. He's not saying, I saw God. God is a spirit and you can't see a spirit. So the picture that he's painting is a picture of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so what he's saying is, I saw the glorified Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Let me share something with you. When you hear people saying, I had a dream last night, and I saw the Lord lying. Okay? You can't see God.
That's
and
right.
Live. That's according to your Bible.
Right.
So when people start off like that, acting really holy, they are lying to you.
All right now.
And so what God is allowing us to see is a glimpse of the Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ. And the prophet Isaiah, he's going to get in the story and he's going to show us, I couldn't even look at that.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And so here is this king. Uzziah, now he was, his arrogance, his ego, he disobeyed God, then went in the presence of God, and as a result he was struck with leprosy. Every sickness that you see people with today is not because they ran into somebody and they got it from somebody. You gotta believe that there are evil curses in this world and God still allows sickness
to
come on people.
That's right.
Your holy God, your righteous God, your loving God also has a wrath of God that also allows things to come in our lives. Sometimes we block our own blessings through disobedience because God is saying, I can't get to you to bless you. And so leprosy came upon him. Verse number 2, please.
Above it stood the seraphims.
Now, listen to him. He says, I saw the Lord. I saw Jesus, the Shekinah glory, a glimpse of him. And above Jesus, he says, stood seraphim. Now, that's an angel, okay, that is assigned to Jesus. You too, or likewise, have angels that is assigned to you.
Lord, I thank
you. The problem with angels is they don't move until you tell them what to do.
That's right.
Lord, got that? Now, angels are hosts of God. A host is a military term, which means somebody is around you to protect you, but you got to give them a commandment to protect you. So we got all this armor, all this protection, but we don't speak things into existence. Keep reading, please.
Each one had 6 wings. With twain, he covered his face.
Each one had 6 wings. Now, listen to this, because you have to understand how he introduced Jesus. You have to consider this, is point number 1. You got to consider, he says, that he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. He was high and lifted up.
Yes.
Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God.
Right.
When he saw him, he was high and exalted, high and lifted up.
Yes.
In other words, he shows you the position of a king.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible says about Jesus that he is Lord of Lords and
King of Kings.
God is not king. God is God.
Yes.
So what he says about Jesus is king.
That's right.
Okay. So he says now he is high and exalted. And he was wearing a robe.
All right, man.
The robe represents majesty.
Yes.
And royalty. Remember, the Bible declares about you that you are a peculiar people.
Right.
A royal priesthood. So in other words, your lineage come from Isaiah.
Right.
Your lineage run down through the lines. So you have to understand who you are, and that is your brother Jesus is king, and you are prince or queen.
That's right.
Don't let nobody treat you like you nothing,
right.
And you are prince,
right.
And you are queen. They need to recognize who you are.
That's right.
Because God says you are my child.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, here he is with this robe. And so what he sends is seraphim, which is angels. The word seraphim means to burn. Don't forget that. It means to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Like a candle. Just burn. Just burn. Or better yet, like Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Yeah.
The light is always there. The sun is always there. It may rotate and you can't see it, but it's still there. Sometimes in your life, you may move and you can't see the Son of God, but he's still there waiting for you to call him, and he'll show up and give you a revelation, which is his glory. Get this.
All right,
now, Miss Pam, it says, now I saw this angel and he had six wings.
Six.
Keep reading.
And with twain he covered his feet.
With twain, meaning two. He covered his feet. Covering your feet, it means servitude or service to God. And so the angel went in the presence of Jesus, the glorified Jesus, and he says, I can't even look. He got six wings, he took two, and he covered his feet, which means service. I'm here to serve my Savior. Keep reading.
And with twain he did fly.
And with twain he did fly. You skipped one, and that was with the first two, he covered his face.
That's
a sign of humility.
That's right.
In other words, you can't stand to look upon a glorified Jesus. You can't take that. Your body is not created to even withstand that. If an atomic bomb blows tonight, you can't look at it with the naked eye. If you can't see that with the naked eye, do you really think you can see a glorified Savior, a glorified Creator, a glorified Deliverer? So what he's saying is that now he took six wings, he took the first two, and he covered his face, which is I gotta humble myself. I gotta get in a position of worship just in his presence. He don't have to do anything, he don't have to say anything, just me being in his presence, I have to humble myself. Then he took two, covering his feet, which means now I gotta serve him. Then he took the other two, and then what the Bible says?
He did fly.
I like that. This is what I thought about. Because Danielle did not know what she was doing. You remember Danielle brought those kids up here, and I can't remember who it was, but one of the little kids was an angel, and everybody else was dancing, and they were just flying. You remember that? So in other words, what God is saying is that the presence of Jesus is so awesome. All they did was continually praise him. I don't have to say anything, I just praise him. I don't have to go anywhere, I just worship. That's my only job, is just to praise. My only job is just to worship. And that's why we're here, to praise God and to worship God. Let me tell you something. When you can't do nothing else, all you have to do is just praise. When they take everything else, just worship. You can't take my praise, you can't take my worship. And I understand the Bible says you got to pray without ceasing. What it means is every day, all day, I'm just going to worship. Yeah, you say that by me losing my job. I'm just going to worship because the bills still going to get paid. And so what they understood was their job was just to praise God.
Right.
Keep reading, please.
And one cried unto another and said...
Listen, here's the responsibility of another. He cried out and said what?
Holy, holy, holy.
How many times?
Three times.
Now, three times that he's saying holy has nothing to do with the Trinity. What he's saying is holy, holy, holy has to do with supreme and completeness. In other words, God is saying Jesus Christ is whole. He's supreme just as he is. When you read the Bible and the word is repeated, draw attention to it. Because it means more than what you see. So he says, holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine your only job in the world is just to sit and say, holy? Holy. Bills past due? Holy. Unemployed? Holy. Folk don't like me?
Holy.
Everything is going wrong?
Holy.
Because your situation has not changed God. He's still holy. He's still complete. He's still supreme. He's still going to do what he said he was going to do. Keep reading, please.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Now, watch this. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, the Bible declares that the earth cannot hold Jesus Christ. Not the resurrected. The earth is not enough. The heaven is not enough. Can't hold
him because he is omnipresent. I'm glad Jesus died, but even more than that, glad he rose again. I can die, I just can't get up by myself. So I thank God for the power to have the power even over death, where you can, I can lay it down, but I can pick it up whenever I get ready. So he said, I am complete the way that I am. Keep reading, please.
And the post of the door moved.
Watch this. Now he says, now, and the post of the door moved. In other words, the glorified Jesus Christ just went into a place. And because of his presence and because of his power, the doors moved. I don't know what you locked behind. Take his power there and watch the doors move. Watch that swing open for you. I don't care what wall is in front of you. When you begin to worship him, a doorpost somewhere got to move and let you out. Keep reading.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke.
Now, he says, now, when he went in the place, he brought his body, his spirit in the place. The doors began to shake, and the whole place was full of smoke. In other words, there was a cloud that was above it. See, wherever God is, the smoke, you ever been to church, watch this, and you found yourself really in the spirit, and you couldn't breathe, and Audrey couldn't fan you, right? That's the presence of the Lord right there. You can fan, you can air condition, you can set me up, but when God's Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can't even breathe in his presence. You can't even, because he is the breath that you breathe. Keep breathing.
Then said I, woe is me.
Whoa!
For I am.
Then said the prophet Isaiah, he says, woe is me. In other words, God allowed me to see this vision. He says, I begin to fall apart. When you are in the presence of God, and that's why I was talking about church early, don't become common with church. Because when you come to church and the atmosphere is really set for praise, what you realize is you just coming apart. Because you look at you in comparison to the atmosphere that you're in, and you say, whoa, I am nothing. I am sinful. I am filthy rags in the presence of God. And then you begin to fall apart. But God has a way of putting that thing back together. Keep reading.
For I am undone.
I am undone. In other words, myself, I am incomplete in comparison to holy, holy, holy. Keep going.
Because I am a man of unclean lips.
Watch this. I am a man of unclean lips, and
I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips.
Now, wait a minute now. This is the prophet saying that he is a man of unclean lips. And not only is the preacher wrong, not only is the preacher falling short, but so is the congregation. I'm glad I can stand here and tell you I don't have it together. I'm free to tell you I jack up most stuff than I get right. Ain't no need that lying sitting here. I'm holding and I'm wearing my collar and I got it going. No, I'm struggling just like you are. I got the same stuff that you going through. Dealing with the same way. Falling short as many times, if not more than you.
That's right.
But I get back up and so do you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So he says, I am a man of unclean lips. Now he's not talking about just the words. He's talking about his actions and his attitude. In other words, what you say is really already in it. When somebody says something about you, don't listen to what they say. Watch this. You need to be concerned about how long have you been sharing your business with them, because it's been in their heart for a long time. They've just been waiting on a reason to let it out. But they've been feeling that way about you for a long, long time. So he says, my actions and my attitudes is just ugly. Keep reading.
And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
My eyes have seen the King.
Yes.
I had a vision of Jesus. And so what he's saying is, what God allowed me to see was a glimpse of his Shekinah glory. And when I saw Jesus, I stopped measuring myself against Charles. Because Charles is a pimp. In comparison to Charles, I'm okay. And Bro Ray is a dope dealer. In comparison to Bro Ray, I'm alright. And Chuck is greedy.
Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar.
Watch this. He says, I'm a person of unclean lips.
That's right.
And then he says, listen, because I have unclean lips.
Yes.
Pick it up and read it from there. The unclean lips.
Okay. Unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips.
Uh-huh.
For my eyes have seen the King,
uh-huh,
the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand.
And did what?
Which he had taken with the tongs from uh-huh the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth.
Right there. What he's saying is that this angel flew to the altar,
mm-hmm,
picked up a coal.
Yeah.
And he took the coal, brought the coal back to the prophet, and he put it on his lip. In other words, what he's saying was, everything that I am not, he says, I just confess my sins. Before God will use you, you first got to confess. God will always clean you before he commission you.
Amen.
And so what he's saying is that before I can preach any further, before I can let my life be a testimony, God got to clean me. So he took the little burned coal and put it on his lip, which means that God wiped away everything. I don't know if you like Western movies, but I love them. You know Western movies, when somebody gets shot, what they do is pour some alcohol in there, some whiskey in there, and cleans it up. Then they get something hot and they put it on there, and it's that heat that seals everything, the heat that heals everything. God is saying, I'm going to take the same burn off and I'm going to heal you with this same heat. That's why you're going through so much stuff, because the pressure of life, the heat of life, it's the healing that you're going through. Stop complaining about your journey and saying, the heat that is upon me, baby, it's healing me.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
In heaven, you have an outer court, inner court, and a holiness of holy, the inner place. In the inner place, there's a coal or there's a fire that always burns, because God is always worthy to be worshipped. So that fire never goes out. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, when you get to heaven, there's no need for the sun no more. Because God, Jesus Christ,
yes,
Jesus is the sun. His Shekinah glory will burn. You don't need the sun and the moon no more. Babe, I'm in the presence of God. If I don't need the sun and the moon anymore, but I need it here on the earth so everything can be fed and all of this, in heaven, God is everything that we need.
Right.
And not only there, but here as well. Keep reading.
And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.
Yeah, all the sins removed. Keep going.
And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send?
Right there.
And who will go for us?
Who shall I send? In other words, God shifts from I've cleaned him up to now I'm commissioning him. To be commissioned is to be an agent of somebody. In other words, God says, whom should I send? Now, God, Jesus Christ, knew who would say yes. I wonder if you're saying yes to him tonight.
All right.
Now, he knows when he called your name. He knows when he allowed you to come to church and join the church. He knew whether or not you were God.
Alright.
Watch this.
That's right.
Watch this. Don't get arrogant with it, but listen. The calling that God has on your life, you can't even mess it up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
You can't even mess it up. In other words, because you are commissioned by him, you're going to go through something. You're going to fall short. But your crazy self can't even mess it up. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I can't even mess it up because I'm commissioned by him. He says, whom shall I send? So he says, whom shall I send? You got to be willing and you got to choose. But more importantly, watch this. You got to see whatever unveils itself in life, whatever is presented before you, you gotta see it as an opportunity, not as a setback. Remember, I said to you, when you're going through something, what you call it is what it becomes. If you're going through through something, you say, man, this thing gonna kill me. Yes, it's gonna kill you. But if you're going through something, you say, you know what? This thing gonna make me stronger. This thing gonna prepare me, and in fact, it propels you. Be careful what you call your troubles. Sometimes your troubles are merely opportunities for God to use you. Keep reading, please. Almost done.
Fools are for us. Then said I, fear not, send me.
Keep going.
And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not.
Listen to that. So what he's saying to them is that go tell the people, because the people that you're going to preach to, and I'm not talking about pulpit preaching, I'm talking about Monday at Our Flight and Tuesday at Teases and Wednesday wherever else you work at, I'm talking about that kind of preaching. Oh baby, this right here easy, I can stand right here and just talk some words. But on Monday morning when somebody get on your last nerve, on Friday at 4:59 right before you're supposed to leave and somebody tell you to stay, that's preaching. What you say, that's a message right there in and of itself. So he says the heart. Watch this in verse number 10. He deals with, and I need to speed up. He deals with the heart, then he moves to the ears, then he moves to the eyes. But look at verse number 1, 2, and 3. He reversed the order. He then deals with the eyes, the ears, and the heart. So in other words, what he's saying, if you take these words, and that's heart, ears, eyes, and then eyes, ears, heart, what you'll discover is in the middle of that is your eyes. Be careful what you look at.
That's right.
See, sometimes what you see can pull you that way. You ever been walking somewhere and you start looking at something and you find yourself getting off the path? Be careful what you look at. See, some stuff that you look at, you don't need to see it. If it's not good, don't even look at it. Don't even waste your time. See, what God is trying to say is that some people, their heart is hard. Therefore, it doesn't make a difference what they see, because their ears are closed. They're not going to listen to you anyway. So you have to go beyond that. Keep reading, please. Bear.
Then said I, Lord, how long?
How long? That's what I want to get to. He says, now, how long do you want me to keep on preaching? He says, you just keep on preaching. Now, when I told you earlier, you're going to keep on preaching, even though don't expect anything from it.
Yes,
you think that you're not making a difference in the lives of somebody. You keep telling them something, oh, they're not listening. Yes. You may not be around to see it, but you better believe not one word, not one joke, not one tittle that God's allowed to go from you is going to come back. Voice. Somebody hears what you're saying. Somebody is listening. Now jump down, and what you'll discover in the sick of time, jump down and you'll see he's talking about some trees. He's talking about cutting down some trees. Do you see that part?
Yes.
Read that part real quick.
But yet, and it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak.
Now he talks about these trees, and what, in essence, in closing, what he's talking about, he says, I'm going to cut these trees down.
That's right.
But what I'm going to do, watch this in closing. Yeah. He said, when I cut the trees down, I'm going to leave a stump. I know you're going through hell, but you are the remnant. You are the stump that he left. That's why you're still standing. You may have been broken, but you're still rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. There is still hope for you, because you are the remnant that God is calling about. You are the church that God has called. And so what God is saying to you is, don't you let go, because there's still hope for mankind. You keep doing what you were called to do, and you better believe somebody is going to hear what you're saying. See, he left you standing. Everything around you is all gone. Unemployment, people killing one another, doing everything. But God still has a remnant, and that remnant is his church, and the church is you. Have you been blessed tonight?
Yeah.